If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to your slave, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we have ought to have done. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please. Put your trust in the Lord and see what God will do. Amen. I love you, you love me. We're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Mwah! Won't you say you love me too? Sorry about that, but I kind of just needed a little Barney after the readings this morning. Just had some nostalgia for that purple dinosaur, you know, the one I'm talking about. Barney, who gave children strength and comfort whenever they needed it. Barney would always pop into the picture at just the right moment, and with a skip and a giggle, he'd save the day. Everyone always felt good when Barney came to visit. And I bet if the children on the show asked Barney to increase their faith, he would surely do it. After all, what's wrong about asking Jesus to increase faith? Now, I know that I've made such a prayer request. Haven't we all, at one time or another, asked for more faith when we faced a conflict at work or a problem with a friend? Something that we wished we had would have done differently, better? Haven't we wished for an increase in faith after we prayed and prayed for the healing of a loved one, only to find that our prayers were not answered the way that we wanted? At such times as these, I question my ability to pray correctly, and I also realize how little control I actually have. So chances are we've made that prayer. Chances are we have all experienced such stumbling. And surely the people following Jesus were not immune to the same stumbling. So they go to Jesus. In all honesty, they go asking for more faith. We should know that they go asking this after Jesus has given them some really attention-getting teaching. At the beginning of chapter 17, Jesus says, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. And then he goes on to say that it would be better to wear a millstone necklace and take a swim in the deep blue sea than to cause any of these little ones to stumble. That's a different translation, but that's basically what it says. Jesus informed his disciples, his followers, that some people are going to set traps to trick them. But you, follower of Jesus, ought never to be one of those who set such a trap. People who set traps cause people to stumble in their faith. And then Jesus speaks about the necessity of his followers to forgive. That's right before our text, too, before the disciples ask for an increase in faith. The necessity to forgive even another disciple in Christ who knows better when they offend you, they must be rebuked. And if they offer repentance, we must forgive, even if it's over and over again. It's tough teaching. Forgiving others, or else we cause others to stumble in their faith, and then we're the ones getting the millstone necklace and going for a swim. You see what I mean? I love you. You love me. Come on, Jesus. Bless us with a little more faith so we can carry out these difficult teachings. Make us be just like you. And we learn once again that Jesus is not some cosmic Santa Claus. Christ is certainly not Barney. The apostles were wise when they sat up to hear Jesus' words, and we do well also in hearing today's lessons. For like the prophet Habakkuk, we cry out at the injustice around the world. We cry out at the injustice in our backyard. We wonder, how long, O Lord, how long will you let the oppressor run free? But still, we cry out. We do not give up on crying out. The Lord will come. And then in our reading from 2 Timothy, we hear how the gospel, it brings life and immortality to light. And then our reading this morning. And as a funny side note, in our NRSV Bibles, the editor for chapter 17 titles this section as Some Sayings of Jesus. Seems like even the editor wishes us to downplay the importance of Jesus' words today. But the truth is, the apostles, they make the wrong request of Jesus. Like us, they believe that their actions and their words are always going to reflect the quantity of faith within them. And we learn today that faith is not some thing that can be stored up or even quantified. The plea they should have made is, in their distress, is, Lord, make us faithful. Help us in our faith. For there's no such thing as more or less faith. Even tiny faith is sufficient. And then when we turn to the parable that Jesus tells them after their request, we need to understand as best we can the difficult language that rises up. For when we hear the word slave mentioned, there are all sorts of pictures that form in our mind. For slavery in this country was and still is an ugly reality that existed long ago, and it existed for more reasons than free labor. Slavery then and now reveals the brokenness of this world as humans cling to the false beliefs that one person can be master over another. The master and slave imbalanced relationship was embedded in the land that Jesus walked long ago, and I believe that the mustard seed he speaks about of faith was about teaching his followers to put that faith into action in order to change the landscape of slavery. The call to action goes on today for us to change the landscape of slavery and forms of human trafficking and even slavery of children. For Christ assures us that we have enough faith to uproot these injustices that occur around us. So, dear church, be assured you have faith. Today's gospel communicates to us just how serious Jesus is about ministry in his name. For to follow the way of Christ means that there are no times when it is acceptable to be less than forgiving. There are no times when it is acceptable to be less than compassionate and less than hospitable. And if it doesn't mean, oh, And it doesn't mean we're never going to stumble, for even Jesus says occasions for stumbling are bound to come. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but God does expect us to always forgive, always love, and to be full of compassion. So in closing this morning, I'd like to share with you an old sermon story about a woman who was seeking entrance into heaven based on her good works in the world. So she came to the pearly gates and she asked St. Peter for admission. St. Peter inquired, "On what basis?" "Well," the woman said, "I worked most recently in the world of finance, and I labored hard to make even that realm a place where God's will is done." "That's good," St. Peter replied. "But of course we expected that." Oh. "Well, earlier in my life, I worked several years in a low-income job out in the mission field. I tackled the causes of poverty and injustices in the third world. I worked directly with children and their communities, and I even helped some escaped human trafficking." St. Peter looked in his book and said, yes, I see that here. So much needed to be done." The woman, clearly nervous now, said, But look, I have worked hard to be faithful ever since God called me. I have kept my hand to the plow and never looked back." "And your point is?" Peter asked. The woman, now clearly disconcerted, stammered, "Well, that's all I got. There's nothing more but the grace of God." "Precisely," St. Peter said. "Welcome home." Amen.